Remember those baptismal certificates that hung on your grandparents' wall? Beautiful. They had the baptism of Jesus and other images and their name. It was always a constant reminder of the gift that the Lord Jesus gave them in their baptism. Well, we have a new version of that. If you visit wolfsoncreative.com, you can see the baptismal certificates there. They're available electronically for congregations to print as many as you want, or individually, paper copies for families to hang on the wall and treasure the Lord's gift of baptism. The website is wolfsoncreative.com. And with each purchase, Issues Etc. gets a portion of the proceeds to carry on their work. Thanks for visiting wolfsoncreative.com. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
Well, I remember hearing this story from the time I was very small. I felt a certain affinity for wee little Zacchaeus. But if you listen to the Sunday school versions of the story of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus the tax collector, you might get the impression that Zacchaeus is kind of that tax collector with a heart of gold. His real problem is he's too short and vertically challenged, and all he needs is someone to affirm him. That's kind of how the story used to come across, not the tax collector, not the sinner, not the, even by his own admission, thief that he was, encountering this Jesus who calls him to repent. Joining us to talk about Jesus blessing Zacchaeus on this Monday afternoon, January the 24th, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis, their Sunday School curriculum, Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
So was Zacchaeus' problem simply that he was short and underappreciated by the world?
No. Zacchaeus really embodied what it is to be poor in spirit. He is someone stuck in his sin who doesn't know his Savior, doesn't understand his need for a Savior. He's someone who's living life on his own and leaning on himself, and doing it very poorly, so that he's despised and reviled because of his sin and his sinful life. And this is a man outside of the church, outside of the family of God, because he doesn't know the Savior. He doesn't even realize his need for a Savior. And that's what makes him not so loved, as comes out in that text. In Luke 19, when Jesus says he's going to go home and eat with him, the people are, you know, blown away. They can't believe it. They're upset that he would mix up with sinners like Zacchaeus. And so, you know, we get that sense that he's hated. But his real weakness is that he doesn't know his Savior, and that makes him poor in spirit. And that's the other part of our lesson this week, to look at Zacchaeus in light of the Beatitudes, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a wonderful lens for understanding what often are cryptic kind of verses when we read them in Matthew chapter 5. What does Jesus mean by all these blessed things? And is it something I have to do? Is it something I am? Or is it something that is given or done to me from outside of me? And Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus, helps us see that this is all about God and his work in our lives.
We also misunderstand what it means to be blessed. How would you explain that?
Well, you're right. That's a huge misunderstanding. In our world, we think about it as things that we get, material blessings, perhaps, maybe even things that we earn because of our hard work. But this blessedness here is a blessedness that comes to us not because of anything we've done or achieved or deserve, because we can do nothing to receive the blessedness from God. It all comes because Jesus deserved it. He earned it. And he gives it to us so that we are truly, as this text says, blessed. Blessed in all these different ways. And that is a little bit of a different turn than how this story has been taught, or this sermon, part of the sermon, and the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. And we really have to turn it from being a focus on a person, Zacchaeus, or on ourselves, and how we get this blessedness by, you know, what we do or say or think, and focus on Christ and see how He changes lives. He calls people to repentance, and through the Holy Spirit grants faith, turns us around, and grants us these many blessings.
We got about a minute before our break, Pam. In those first Beatitudes, according to Matthew's Gospel, there is a theme of a deficit. Poor in spirit, hungering and thirsting, something we don't have. What's the key to understanding that with only about a minute before our break?
Well, you're right. The poor in spirit, we're referring to those who are spiritually weak, spiritually lacking, as Zacchaeus was, not having faith, not being part of God, part of God's family. Those who mourn, we're speaking of those who are mourning over their own sinfulness and the sin in the world. This goes beyond just mourning over human loss and life in this world. That's all connected to sin. Being meek and realizing before God that we really can't do anything on our own, that we are in need of our Savior, and we're in need of a God who daily provides for us. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's our state as sinful people. We are never righteous on our own, and it is only that we're blessed because of Christ, who gives us His righteousness and who fills us with good things.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with her, live this Monday, January the 24th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. We're talking about two things, the blessed man or the blessed ones of the Beatitudes, and seeing this through the lens of Luke's story in chapter 19 of Jesus blessing Zacchaeus. More on Zacchaeus after this. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Well, I think that's a very good question.
Check out our new YouTube video, Good Question, issuesetc.org, and click Support. Good questions, better answers. Issues, Etc. Watch the short YouTube video, Good Question, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Well, you know, that's a good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen talking about this man who is blessed by Jesus and what it means to be thus blessed by Jesus. Pam, coming back to Zacchaeus a little bit, the fact that Jesus goes to his house is remarkable. This is kind of a theme in the Gospels about Jesus consorting with the wrong kind of people. What's up?
Well, that's really true. We see that in lots of ways, and Jesus is always kind of browbeaten and even more for mixing up with those who society would deem sinners or trouble, certainly not religious people. But this is exactly what Jesus does. It's exactly who he has come for. Those who realize their poverty of spirit, those who stand before him with nothing in their hands, who realize that they're sinners. And in this encounter with Jesus, at first, you know, Zacchaeus, we don't know. What does he know about Jesus? He's maybe heard about him. He's coming down the road. He climbs up in that tree to see him. And Jesus speaks to him and calls him down. And then Zacchaeus is, you know, the Spirit has worked in him in that encounter with Jesus. In verse 8 there in Luke 19, he says, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus affirms him, "Today salvation has come to this house." And that's what Jesus does. He comes to sinners. He talks with them. He eats with them. He meets with them. He gets into their lives, into their homes, and he changes them, transforms them, and that's exactly what happened here. Jesus takes the initiative to bring about salvation and change in Zacchaeus. Really, it's all for Zacchaeus. It's a passive thing, and Jesus renews him, and then he goes to his home, and he's the guest of this sinner. He doesn't shun him, and he doesn't fear him. He loves them. This is why Jesus has come, for all the Zacchaeuses of the world, you and me, the children in our Sunday school and in the pews in our church and the people at the grocery and the gas station and wherever we go. This is who Jesus has come for.
There's a remarkable transformation wrought by Jesus of both repentance and faith in Zacchaeus, as evidenced by the fact that he is ready at this point to mend his former ways. Talk about that.
Well, that's right. The story is recorded in only 9 verses, but immediately Zacchaeus, it says, "And he stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor.'" You know, he's actually responding to what he knows has been his sin. He's taken from the poor. He's defrauded them. He says, "And if I have defrauded anyone, I restore it fourfold." So he's almost in this verse 8 confessing and realizing this, that who Jesus is and who he is for him, and then flowing out from him, Christ in him, a willingness to make it right, to turn away from that sin and to pay back those whom he has stolen from. And that's what Christ does. And then if you look at the Beatitudes, that and that's why we've paired these together, to help us understand these Beatitudes in the context of someone's life. The first part of the Beatitudes, Zacchaeus is poor in spirit. He's called to mourn for his sin. He's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He's meek standing before the Lord. He has nothing he can claim that he is of any worth to the God who created him. But Christ transforming him, calling him to repentance, as Christ does in all his preaching, as our pastors do for us, he is now receiving mercy and able to be merciful because Christ has been merciful to him. Christ makes him pure in heart and enables him to see God, and in this he is most blessed. He is now able to be a peacemaker because the peace of God has come to him, peace in the face of sin and all of the turmoil that that brings. He's now called a son of God. And he's going to be one who, like Christ, is going to be persecuted for who he is in Christ. But heaven will be his. The kingdom of heaven is his. He is now part of the family of God. All of these things come because Christ came to him. Faith came to Zacchaeus. And that's how these Beatitudes work. And this is a beautiful story of how it worked in one man's life.
Talk more about that persecution, because that's the part that, well, we do tend to spiritualize the Beatitudes a lot, but you can't, it's impossible to spiritualize that stuff.
That's right. It's real, isn't it? You know, you want to go to the extreme. There have always been and continue to be martyrs, those who are killed or physically harmed for their faith. And then, you know, you might say, well, that doesn't happen here in our world. But there is persecution. There is a reviling of the people of God, and that happens. Maybe we're ostracized in a social group, or we're become the victims of a lawsuit, or even arrested for confessing the name of Christ for acting in accordance with our faith. Maybe we're a child at school who is made fun of because they go to church on Sunday morning instead of to soccer practice, or they miss something at school because they have confirmation class. That's persecution, too. These things will come. There's no place in God's Word that he says that because you're my child, you won't have this. In fact, it's just the opposite. But in verse 11 and 12 of Matthew 5, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Yes, it's awful, and you feel it, and you experience the result of it. Maybe you lose your job, or you don't get the job, or whatever. But that does not negate what Jesus says, "Blessed are you." That is a statement of fact, not anything that you do. It is something that God gives you as his child. You are blessed, even when others revile you. And then he says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus saying, you know, this has gone on from the beginning. "But rejoice and be glad, because there is a reward for you, and it is a great one, and it waits for you in heaven." And that, you know, hard when we're in the midst of that, to see beyond the moment of persecution, the moment of trouble because someone doesn't like that we're confessing Christ. But that is what faith is all about. In the face of these times, these hard times, that we see beyond that with eyes of faith to a Savior who died on the cross, who paid for our sins, who paid for the sins of those who are hurting us, and who has promised us every blessing for all eternity in heaven with him.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum. It's called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it. In fact, you can get a free sample of Growing in Christ by just calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can also find out more about Growing in Christ by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand right next to this interview with Pam Nielsen. You'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House and Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week. A blessed week.
You too.
Thanks.
When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit with Peter Scare about St. Timothy. The church is remembering this pastor. He is emblematic of pastors. We get from St. Paul's pen, as he writes to this young Timothy, a wealth of admonition, teaching, really the entirety of what the Bible teaches about the pastoral office is contained in one form or another in those letters that Paul, the apostle, writes to the pastor Timothy in Ephesus. We know a lot about this young man, and we'll find out what the church is remembering on this day when we come back a little bit later. We'll begin a five-part daily series with Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska. We'll be talking about the Crusades today, the origins of the Crusades, very interesting stuff, and the very first Crusade, how it came about. Zacchaeus is completely passive in his reception of Jesus. All he is curious about this man who is passing by. No idea what will happen when Jesus calls him down out of the tree. Notice that Jesus is hardly a gentleman in this particular scenario. He doesn't wait to be asked by Zacchaeus over for dinner. He invites himself. He says, "I am going to your house." Jesus doesn't wait for sinners to invite him. He simply finds them where they are. He pursues them, even if it is into their homes. And there he encounters them as the Holy One and yet also the Savior. He works by the power of his own word and person, repentance and faith in sinners just like you and me. We'll be right back with Hour 2 of Issues Etc. live this Monday, January the 24th, 7 minutes from now.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.